To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. The affiliate links are in the description down below. Welcome to the Positive Sarcasm Podcast. Questions, concerns, or comments, go to PositiveSarcasm.com. Go to the contact section. Go ahead and click on the link there. Go ahead and send me whatever you have there. The links in the affiliate description down below are as follows. If you're looking for financial wellness, you're looking to get started in your own little independent way, there's links to the Webull app, the Moomoo app, the eToro app. If you sign up for those using that description down below, you'll get free stocks or free cash or something like that. Take advantage of their high interest savings account, stock options, cryptocurrency, and at least in eToro you can. And there's all kinds of other rewards and things like that that you'll really find useful to help get yourself started. There's also a Roth IRA that's available in Webull, but go ahead and try those out. If you don't have the money, it's totally fine. I get it. Things could be tough in your end, but it is a great way to at least get started. So go ahead and take advantage of those affiliate links if you are. I'll get free stocks or free cash simply by you signing up. That's a great way of supporting this podcast, this website. It pays the bills. There is also links to Dr. Jordan B. Peterson and Mel Robbins if you're looking for a different type of podcast, some cultural, motivational, nutritional, mental health, all kinds of other stuff. There's also a link to BetterHelp.com. I'm not sponsored by BetterHelp.com, but at least you got somebody to talk to. The website information is there. Go ahead and sign up if you need it. And of course, and always, if in case of emergency, break glass. There's a link to that website as well. That being said, long week here at the Spare Parts Studio. Well, actually, away from the Spare Parts Studio. Apologies. Living a very busy but very good life right now. And we want to continue the tradition of this weekly platform by starting off. We're going to go to Reddit this week. And they have a segment called AITA. I'm pretty sure you could figure it out what that means because kind of says it right there in the details. So let's go ahead and get started on that. Like I said, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, and this relatively short podcast that I post once a week, you can hit me up directly, PositiveSarcasm@Outlook.com. Go ahead and check out everything PS related. I got a whole website with all kinds of interesting projects and mini-series and concepts and article archives and movie reviews and photo galleries and events information. There's just all kinds of stuff that I've done over the past 10 years. That you guys can go and consume from the very beginning when I didn't know what I was doing to now when I kind of know what I'm doing. So go ahead and check all that out. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get the article monitor up as soon as I can scroll over here and figure out what I'm doing here. Boom, here we go. AITA. I was on a flight today and started having a migraine. I put down my tray table and rested my head on it. Then the person in front of me suddenly tried to recline her seat and it must have met with some resistance from my head. I don't know if it fully reclined or not, but a few minutes later she slammed it back in, and at this time it hit my head. Not hard enough to hurt, but hard enough to startle me out of my sleep. I sat bolt upright. She turned around and looked at me and said something to which I assumed was an apology, but I couldn't hear her. I couldn't hear because the plane was loud. I scooted back further in the tray to avoid another direct hit, which I didn't think would impact her ability to recline, and resumed nursing my migraine. As I was getting off the plane, she was waiting in the jet bridge for me and said, "You're an asshole for holding up the seat." I said I wasn't holding up the seat, I was trying to rest, and she repeated her assertion that I was an asshole. I said I was really confused and just trying to sleep and walked off saying, and she walked off saying, "Nope, asshole." Okay. All right, look, first of all, I'm going to state something really clearly, just as a full discretion. I don't get migraines. I don't. Very rarely do I even get a headache. So, and I understand that, look, migraines, whether you are healthy, obese, you chronically suffer from them, you know, at the end of the, when it all said and done, migraines are the worst. I've seen they're crippling, they're debilitating. And I can't imagine having one while you're on a flight. I know there are ways to kind of remedy them, but look, if you have a migraine, you have a migraine. You're a mess. You're sensitive to light. You're sensitive to sound. You're sensitive to everything. So I think that's full stop right there. And obviously plane etiquette, especially nowadays, is
plane etiquette is very sensitive. So I am right there. I'm on right there. The plane etiquette, I'm very big on plane etiquette. I'm very big on people just being sensitive to people when they're on planes. I just like to get where I need to go, do what I need to do, and move on with my day. I'm very business class oriented when I get on a plane. The person who acted the way that they acted in the front seat, oh, absolute the worst person you want to be sitting next to, around, near, or just be on a plane. So unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. You are not at fault for anything that you did. You had a migraine. I'm sorry that you had a migraine. And I'm sorry that the person in front of you was such a peckerhead. I don't see fault with what you were doing. I mean, obviously this is from your angle of it. This is from your angle. So I'm only going on what you're saying, based on what you're saying. And based on what you're saying, the person in front of you was incredibly rude. And everything that was said after the flight was over, unneeded. Unneeded. And even if you were the asshole, not going to change you. Not in any way, shape, or form. Foolish. Very foolish for the person in front of you to say what they said and do what they did. But you know what? Nowadays, that's typical on a plane. It's typical on a flight for people to just be absolute horrid gremlins. So, I'm sorry you had to deal with that. I wish you best on your migraines, though. Like, that they go away and stuff. Anyways, let's move on to the next one. That was a good one, by the way. I enjoyed that one. Right. Ooh, this one's a long one. I'm 34, was married to Rick. Okay. I was married to Rick, 36 male. We had two kids together, Sawyer and Finley. Rick and I divorced because Rick changed his role at work while I was pregnant with Finley without telling me, and this new position required Rick to travel for work, for weeks at a time sometimes. He never communicated about this before he took the new position. The first I learned of it was Rick telling me he would be out of town for 2 weeks for a work project. This was something we had discussed before marriage and before having kids, and he knew how I felt about this. He knew about this before he took the new position. At first, I learned of it was Rick telling me blah, 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 blah for a work project. Okay, this is something we had discussed before marriage, before having kids, and he knew how I felt about this, so he didn't tell me, and he was unapologetic about it. Once we divorced, he was away a lot and would send others to pick up the kids, even though he couldn't see them. This included short-term girlfriends and his dad, who isn't a very stable person. Okay. So I returned to court and asked for the right of first refusal clause to be added to our court-ordered custody agreement so that the kids were not being taken by random people or anyone other than my ex. They would not see him all that week. Custody was 50-50, so literally being taken from me for a week to not be with the other parent. Well, him. The judge agreed to this clause and said if dad was not going to be home for more than a day, he has to offer the time to me if he's not home. Okay. I do not need to send the kids with whomever comes to pick them up. Fair. Rick did not show to court that time and claimed he was working, and it was unfair to have that clause added. I was glad I had the clause added, though, because Rick's time out of town has increased over the years. Rick remarried 3 years ago and has two more children with his current wife, Samantha. Samantha hates the right of first refusal, and they have attempted to add that she was the exception, which the judge denied. Samantha and I have clashed on a few things since she married Rick. I tried to reduce our contact so that the disputes don't become a bigger problem, but she wants to act like the two of us should have the primary co-parenting relationship while also expecting me to let her make more decisions than I do. It's messy. I do everything to keep this from my boys. Samantha hates that the boys can go weeks without seeing her and her kids. The boys don't hate it. They're only sad they hardly ever see their dad. She has told me I should forget the right of first refusal now that she and Rick are married and have kids. I said no. I told her the judge also said no. She told me I should put the boys first, put my boys first. I told her I do, and I do believe it is better for them to be with me when they cannot see their dad, aka the other parent. I told her if she does not like this, she should convince Rick to work out of town less. But otherwise, the boys are where they should be. She called me petty and said a right of first refusal is such a petty thing anyways, and that Rick deserves to allocate his parenting time as he likes. She told me I'm a selfish parent. Well, okay, I can understand that. I can understand that if he's remarried, then and there's another stable parent in the house, that the Samantha has seems like she has some ground to stand on there. However, he hasn't seen his kids because he's working all the time. Well, I guess what at this point, it leave it up to the kids. What do the kids think? So if the kids think that they are fine with not dealing with the other kids, all right, then there you go. But I understand this seems to be a tricky situation. I mean, when it first started, you were 100%, in my opinion, in the right for he's not there, and some rando just coming to pick up your kids. I totally get it. Like, I totally get that scenario, where if it's just him and he's traveling weeks at a time and he picks up some short-term, your boys don't need to see that. They don't need to grow up seeing that as, like, an actual example of how they should, like, see women, you know, as just like temporary or short term or tossaways. They should see women as stable human beings, you know, or people that are going to be in their lives for more than 10 minutes. Stable human beings. But as far as Samantha goes, it's a little trickier. If she's there all the time and she understands parenting, then I think that maybe having that conversation and extending an olive branch is totally possible. I mean, that might be a good idea. So that conversation might need to be had. But I understand why you would want to hesitate or just say, this is what the judge said, get screwed. But for her to say it was the right of first refusal is petty for back when you first did it is not a good thing to say. So... I get what you're saying right now. I get what you were saying about the beginning of a relationship. That made perfect. Or the beginning of the divorce, where he was not around. That makes sense to me. So, okay. But there might need to have a conversation had now that there's a second person in that house, supposedly full time. Anyways, let's move on to the next one. So my husband, 38, I'm expecting our first child together, a bouncing baby girl due in a few months. We were both over the moon, and we found out that the gender, now that things have gotten complicated, to say the least. Oh, we were over the moon when we found out the gender, but now things have gotten complicated, to say this. Okay, whatever. Moving on. See, when we first started talking about names, the boy name was immediately decided, Stuart Jr. to my husband, no problem there. It's a classic name, carries family meaning, but for a girl, things got murky. My husband suggested Stuarta. No, you're not having a stroke. Apparently, his logic is since Stuart ends in T, he can just add an A to make it feminine. No, you can't. I tried explaining that doesn't work, how it sounds more like a furniture brand than a human name. Kind of right. How she'd endlessly correcting people and explaining its origin. He's adamant. It says it honors him while giving our daughter a unique name. I've suggested alternatives, fair, feminine names that maybe are more similar sound, meaning to Stuart, names he mentioned things like in the past, not going back to the drawing board entirely, but he's fixated on Stuarta. Now, I love my husband dearly, but I clearly understand wants to honor the family, but I can't imagine subjecting our daughter to a lifetime of awkward stares, endless questions about her unusual name. I also worry about her potential bullying and impacts. Okay, makes sense. I'm the jerk for refusing to budge on Stuarta. Is there any compromise I haven't considered? Husband wants to name her. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't like the name. I don't. Stuart's a fine name. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it. And I'd just be like, we're not naming our kid that. It's a horrible name. Your husband needs to forget about honoring his name. That's enough. He should be flattered he's having a kid. Okay, so the name is just silly. Stewart Jr. No. Stacy, Sarah, anything else with an S. But God, for love of God, please do not name your kid Stuarta. It's stupida. Let's move on to the next one. That one took too long for such a black and white scenario, in my opinion. What time are we at right now? 15? Okay. My younger sister, 22, and I, 23, were both adopted as infants. We come from the same birth family. We were adopted by the same parents a year apart. We also have an older sister, 26, who is our parents' biological child. Okay. My sister was always way more curious about our biological family than I was. 2 years ago, my younger sister decided she wanted to find out our birth family with the help from our parents, but she wanted to be a part of that journey with her. Yeah, I can understand that. She told me it would be way less awkward and uncomfortable if I was by her side. I said I didn't have the same curiosity, feel like I was finding them. I didn't feel like finding them right then. She begged me to do this with her because both part of our history and origins, but then when I realized how much this meant to her and how serious it included me, I told her I would join her for that, but I would not forge a close family relationship with them just for her, and I expected her to do the rest of her own if she wanted to integrate into their family. She said she understood and thankful for doing that with her, where their parents helped me find out the blah, blah, blah. We found our birth family, and I was not all interested in being closer after meeting. Okay. Let's see. Our birth parents had seven more children. Holy shit. Seven more children. Imagine living in a family with seven children. I was in a family of three, and that was still a lot to handle. You know, that's just so much. I can't imagine just being in a family of seven. Anyways, let's move on. The older two spent some time in foster care, Jesus, before returning to our birth parents. They were very young when they had us and blamed the lack of resources for not keeping us. Okay. But they have way more resources than they were ever given by CPS, Child Protective Services, I think that is, to help them after the two returned, and they still seem to be a mess. It made me glad they gave up the adoption and didn't keep me. I have no doubt they want kids, but I don't think they are fit to be parents. My younger sister was excited by all these people and wanted to know them. She begged. Chase, you got the sneezes? You okay, buddy? You good? That's three solid sneezes right there, pal. Three solid sneezes. You good? All right. She pleaded, and I told her she would agree to the deal before and need to stick with it. She told me she needed me and wanted me to help her through this and take care of it for her. I didn't meet them again, but she has established a relationship with our birth parents and birth siblings. First of all, meeting like biological parents and never actually knowing them. That's a complicated scenario. Some people just they're good. Like, they don't want nothing to do with them. It's like, once you've tossed them aside, once they tossed you aside, you really just have no attachment to them. It's like, nah, you got rid of me once. I'm not letting you get rid of me again. So I can understand that feeling of abandonment. Let's see. Let's see. Okay, so she's into him, but you're not. First time attending something way more of her birth family present. I had plans with my older sister. Okay. My younger sister told me I only ever spend time with her older sister and I never see our birth siblings. Okay. She told me yet again that she needed me and wanted me there by her side with this. So I was like, you need to learn to stand on your own two feet and stop expecting me to take care of her. I told her she made adult decisions and needed to go grow up and accept she can't expect me to cater to her like this forever. She got so upset, and I said I made it seem like it was wrong to want to know of our birth family. You don't want nothing to do with them. You don't want those people in your life. I understand. Your sister made a very adult decision about wanting to meet biologicals. So, let me think this through for a second. Okay. All right. She made an adult decision to meet biological family. That left her when they were young. Okay. That's an adult decision. So if she wants to hang out with them, that's also an adult decision. She's capable of making adult decisions. Good. You don't want anything to do with them. I get it. If you don't want to spend time, if you want to spend time with your older sister, it's not a favoritism thing. It's just that you know your older sister and you don't want to spend time with the biological family that was never yours to begin with. I tend to lean in your direction. I understand what you're going through. I get where she would be upset, but this is... She can't be upset with the family that was there by her side the entire time because she wants to hang out with the family that wasn't there. But then again, it wasn't those siblings. It wasn't those siblings' fault. It was the parents who made this difficult decision. But she has to understand why you just don't want anything to do with them. A lot of people just don't want to deal with their biological parents that left them behind or the family that incurs from it. It's just like, no thanks. I'm not doing it. So I do tend to lean in your direction just simply because it's just sometimes that's a lot of emotional responsibility. It really, really is. And she made it as she made an adult decision. She has to stick with it. She made an adult decision to want to hang out with other family. You made an adult decision not to. You're not at fault, and you're still hanging out with your older sister. So that's the path. And then maybe your younger sister will kind of see why you don't want to do it. But she did make an adult decision, and she has to stick with that. Anyways, we should move on to the next one. Let's see, is this it? Best friends running? Yep, this is the one. Cool. Let's close on this one. I am 31. I had a friend, Maria, 31, growing up. We met when we were about 8 or 9, and quickly became best friends. We started slowly growing apart in high school and our schedules changed and almost completely lost touch during college. By that time, we were 23. We only saw each other once a year at Christmas for our old friends group Christmas dinner. Maria got engaged to her high school sweetheart. That's awesome. Excuse me. Sorry. And wanted me to be her maid of honor in the wedding. At the time, she asked me. We had not seen or spoken to each other in almost 2 years. Yeah, but that's understandable. That's actually quite flattering, though. That's actually quite flattering. Like, I would, if I hadn't talked to Bobby in 2 years and I wanted him to be part of my wedding party, I would absolutely, like, Bobby, I know we haven't seen each other in a long time. I need you there, man. No matter how far apart we are, we're brothers. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And that's flattering, even if you haven't seen him in 2 years. At the time she asked me, we've not seen each other. Honestly, it shocked me when she asked, but I agreed. Okay. She asked me about a year before the wedding. And after she asked me to be a maid of honor, she did not speak to me again for 6 months. I had taken it to mean Maybe she wanted to rekindle our friendship and reach out a few times during those 6 months to meet up for lunch or hang out, but she never responded. When she finally texted me, it was to meet up with her and her best friend, one of the bridesmaids, to pick out the dresses for the bridal party. She showed up 3 hours late. Apparently, she and her friend decided to meet up for lunch and hang out before the meeting at the mall, completely ignoring our agreed-upon time and the fact that I had already said I was there and waiting for them. I'm not going to go into details over the next 6 months leading up to the wedding, but that should give you an idea of how it went. By the time the wedding day came, I genuinely felt so used and disrespected. On the day of the wedding, Maria was just mean. I waited until the speeches and the first dance were over. I left the reception and went home. I have not spoken to her since. I can't believe you made it to the freaking reception. It has been about 4 years since her wedding, and I am now engaged and getting married in 2 months. I did not invite Maria or any of our old friend group. In my mind, our friendship is well and truly dead. Apparently, Maria ran into my sister at the store and we're chatting about my sister. And my sister mentioned the wedding. Maria texted me, honestly shocked she still has my number, to send me her address so I knew where to send the invitation. I just responded, thank you, but the guest list is already set. Have a nice day. She told the friend group, and now they're all blowing up my phone about inviting them for old time's sake, and that I owe Maria an invitation because I was her maid of honor. They've been posting on social media, and now even my mom is getting involved, saying I should invite them all or just keep the peace out of respect for our friendship. My argument is that I haven't spoken to them in years, and I don't care about this wedding etiquette thing, and I don't owe her an invitation just because I was her maid of honor, especially considering everything that was happened with her wedding, but literally only my fiancé is on my side. So, okay, I have a thing about weddings. The wedding is... The wedding is between two people, the husband and the bride. They make the decisions. It's their day. It's their rules. End of story. Maria was mean to you. Didn't hang out with you. Didn't talk to you the entire time you were her maid of honor. You held your own through all of it and decided to still go to the wedding. I would have bailed before the wedding. After the reception, you left. You were 4 years without speaking to her. 4 years after the wedding. So 2 years. 2 years before her wedding. 4 years after the wedding. You don't invite her? I totally get it. That makes perfect sense. I wouldn't invite her either. You didn't talk to her? Why would you invite her? Now, here's the part. And I'm going to make it very clear. I am 100% on the maid of honor side on this. Flat out disrespectful. It's a responsibility for sure to be the maid of honor, okay? Or anybody in the bridal party. And now that everybody's blowing up your phone, I would flat out even tell your mother, listen, don't talk to me about keeping the peace. You stay out of this, otherwise you're not going to the wedding either. There's no tradition here. There's no wedding etiquette. That's out the window. Your bridal party consists of the people that you trust in your life, that you think are responsible enough to be by your side during this great moment so that you can spend all of it focusing on yourself and your husband-to-be. That's the end of it. All these other people that are blowing up your phone, yeah, you can go ahead and block them. You stated very clearly that the guest list is already set. Have a nice day. You couldn't have said it any more politely. That basically says all that needs to be said is that you're not invited. Get corked. And all these other people can kick rocks too. No, don't send Maria an invitation. Don't send any of them an invitation. Your fiance is on your side? Then guess what? You have everybody you need on your side. There's nobody else that matters. And anybody who else who gives you crap because you don't want to invite them, just tell them this. Listen, it's our wedding. It's our wedding. Here's what happened. If you keep trying to persuade this to me, the guest list is going to get smaller and smaller because you're not going to be invited. That alone should do the trick. So For the record, I am 100% on the Maid of Honor's side. Don't talk to Maria. Don't talk to the friends group. Just go get ready for your day. Your big, awesome, expensive day. You can find me on Instagram at positive_sarcasm. By the way, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. If you're looking for counseling, well, go to counseling, okay? You can go to BetterHelp. You can go find a local behavioral health and wellness expert. There's just... go ahead and do that. This is just for entertainment purposes only. But everybody's got problems, and sometimes it's good just to read that stuff out loud. So go ahead and check out all that stuff. But also, go ahead and check out the affiliate links below. But you can find me on Instagram at positive_sarcasm. You can email me directly, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. You can do a whole bunch of things. Go ahead and check out those links down below. Go ahead and check out my website. That's pretty much do it for this week. Thank you, guys. You can find me on Rumble at Positive Sarcasm, YouTube, Positive Sarcasm Podcast, for audio versions of this podcast, anywhere podcasts are available, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, Substack. You can also download it and stream it directly from my website, PositiveSarcasm.com, where you can find a whole slew of other little things that I've been up to. In the meantime, thank you for listening, watching, and subscribing. Go ahead and do that. And I'll talk to you all in the next episode. Thank you very much. Recorded here from the Spare Parts Studio. For entertainment purposes only, this has been a Positive Sarcasm presentation.
Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
You know it's better when we ride, we're green and raw high. Doing what we do, watching screens, getting high. Girl, you keep it so fly with your sweet honey buns. You was there when the money gone, you be there when the money comes. Off top, I can't lie, I love to get blow. Get my little sugar, I'm your little chulo. And every time we kick it, it's all to the groovy. Treat you like my sticky icky or my sweet ooey gooey.
Got me lifted, shifted, higher than the ceiling. And ooey is the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Now I ain't worried about a thing, cause I just hit me a lift. I got a fat sack and a super fly chick and it ain't nothing you could say to a player. Cause doo-wop, she fly like the planes in the air. That's right, she full grown, setting the wrong tone. I'm digging the energy and I'm loving the ozone. So fly like a dove, fly like a raven, quick to politic with some fly conversation in a natural mood. And I'm a natural dude, and we some natural fools blowing out by the pool. She like my sexy cool mama, blaze on the Bavada, rocking Doja Cabana, hydro in a iguana.
Got me lifted, shifted, higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
You know it's better when we ride, we're green and raw high. Doing what we do, watching screens, getting high. Girl, you keep it so fly with your sweet honey buns. You was there when the money gone, you be there when the money come. You know it's leather when we ride, wood grain and raw high. Doing what we do, watching screens, getting high. Girl, you keep it so fly with your sweet honey buns. You was there when the money gone, you be there when the money comes. For real though.
Got me lifted, shifted, higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
Sugar, sugar, how you get so fly?
So high like I'm a star. So high like I'm a star.